Hello there, welcome into the show. I'm Adrian Healy in the delightful company of one Stephen Nicol, one Shaka Hislop. We have Sid Lowe joining us from Madrid as well. And Sid, gotta start with you, gotta start with the very latest with the coronavirus and its effects continue to spread throughout Europe and of course the footballing world as well. Notable leagues so far impacted by coronavirus. Tuesday's Champions League games postponed in Turin and Manchester. La Liga suspended for the next two match days. The Real Madrid squad currently in quarantine. Serie A suspended until April the 3rd. Two Italian players have also tested positive for coronavirus. The Eredivisie in the Netherlands suspended for the next two match days. And just earlier today, MLS in the US suspending its operations for the next 30 days. But Sid, you're right there in Madrid. Let's start with you and get your perspective, particularly with those Real Madrid players in quarantine.
Yeah, what happened was that this morning it was confirmed that one of Real Madrid's basketball players, Trey Tompkins, had got the coronavirus. Real Madrid's basketball team had been in Milan last week. They played behind closed doors, but they did play. And in fact, obviously with hindsight, this is has even more of an impact than it did at the time. Trey actually put out a tweet back then when he said, look, we need to take this virus seriously, and can we please do so? Why aren't we playing in the neutral venue? Well, he's come back from Milan. He does have the virus, and because he's tested positive, and because Real Madrid's basketball team trains at the same place as the football team, and indeed all of the youth teams, it's a centre of sporting excellence for the entire club. And so what the club did today was they sent all of the players home, they took all of the staff home, they even contacted the wives and husbands of some of the staff and got them back from their workplaces and sent them home as well. And Valdebebas, Real Madrid's training ground, is on total lockdown. It's totally closed up now. Those players are in quarantine. Of course, they've been sent home with training plans, but they are unable to train together. Now, that, of course, has been an extra factor in this conversation today between the players' union, the league, and the federation. The league wanted to play games behind closed doors. The federation already wanted to actually postpone games. So did the players' union. And that has been the decision that's finally won out today. And the league will be stopped for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's the decision. It's different in different places, so different leagues taking different courses of action. Do you think 2 weeks will be it? What's your suspicion at this stage?
Well, look, I mean, obviously the starting point here is to say that I'm not a doctor. Yeah. And it's very difficult to judge this. And of course, this has been put forward as being for at least 2 weeks. And within 10 days, maybe 2 weeks time, they will start to reevaluate and decide whether medical advice suggests that they can go back. Now, as you rightly say, there are different leagues saying different things. And that's one of the most kind of disconcerting elements about this, that the British government, for example, is saying that medical evidence and medical advice is suggesting there isn't a need to close games. The Spanish league has done it. The Italian league has done it. You've shown on the screen there a whole load of other leagues that have done it too. I must confess, my concern, or well, one of the many, many concerns I have, not least living here in Madrid, which is very much a hotspot within Spain, my concern with this is that we just don't know, and we don't know how long this will go on for. So we can talk about potential solutions, but those are solutions that at the moment we're grasping at without knowing what kind of margins there are, without knowing what kind of potential ways around this there are. And frankly, at the moment, I think it really is very much a case of seeing these 2 weeks out and then seeing where we're at.
Mm. From the players' perspective, guys, you know, we're starting to see players themselves getting quarantined, the whole Real Madrid team. If it was up to you, would you rather play behind closed doors or just be done with the season, finish it now?
If it were up to me as a player, I'd prefer to play behind closed doors. Yeah. You want to see the season out. That's just the kind of competitor, the professional in you. But kind of given what we know of the virus and certainly how contagious it is, you understand why health professionals take a different approach and see this differently from sporting professionals.
Mm. Stevie, what about you? Because it does change everything so dramatically.
Not. What's the point of playing?
Yeah.
See the season out.
But you're putting yourself at risk by playing behind closed doors because you're still dealing with the opposition. You don't know where they've been. They're dealing with you. There are staff that has to be at ground. So you're open to infection anyway. So what is the point?
From a player's perspective, the point is you see the season out and titles are awarded at the end of the season. To put things in perspective...
It's going to feel great, isn't it?
No, but to put things in perspective, should the Premier League just stop the season now and say, listen, we have no winner, The four who play in the Champions League.
When you put that slant
exactly.
on, you know what's
going to happen. The four who play in the Champions League.
Right, play the games. I don't care. Behind closed doors, play the games.
We just can't.
Sid, maybe we could just put this in some sort of wider context. All roads seem to be leading to a big meeting on Tuesday. I don't know why, quite frankly, they're waiting till Tuesday to meet UEFA, but they are. UEFA bringing all the big leagues together. What do you expect from that meeting?
Well, look, it's very difficult to know what comes out of this meeting, but I must confess that what I expect, of course, is that there's going to be a lot of voices heard at that meeting, and a lot of those voices will say different things. You know, a lot of those voices will say, let's call it a day. A lot of voices will say, we want to get this season finished. There will be clubs saying one lots of things. There will be national associations saying other things. There will be UEFA desperately trying to protect Euro 2020, which I think will be very difficult to do. There will be leagues saying, look at how much money we're losing. And the Spanish League, for example, this evening has made it known that they believe that if this was to be suspended now and the season not to be completed, that this could cost them 600 million euros. And it's a figure that they've justified in terms of what they lose in TV contracts and so on. But whether or not that's really the case, of course, we don't know. And this is going to have a huge impact across economies well beyond football. So I think what will probably happen in that meeting is that there will be a whole load of contrasting ideas put forward. And then I don't know where UEFA take it now, because, of course, as we're saying, we have a problem, or we have lots of problems. But one of them is that we don't know if this isolation period will be sufficient. So in other words, if you could say for certain, look, it's 2 weeks, and then we can start up again, then you can say, right, well, we can move this and we can shift that around and we can get these games played in these dates and we can hold it off and we can play these games in front of full stadiums as usual. And yes, it won't be great, but it'll be like it always is when there's weather problems or whatever, and we play the games in hand and we get it done. But of course, if you don't know whether you've got 2 weeks, and you think, well, maybe we've got 4 weeks or six or eight or who knows how many weeks, and then you say, and anyway, as we start to creep into the summer, we've got the European Championships in a way. So I think the starting point, probably in terms of giving yourself the chance at least to fulfil all those kind of competitive duties, if you like, the starting point probably has to be moving the European Championships out of the way to make space for everything else. And I just don't know how willing and how able the footballing authorities are going to be to take that on.
And that will be a big call, won't it, for UEFA, potentially moving it to the following summer. Much more immediately, Sid, lastly for you on this, the Barcelona game next week in the Champions League is still taking place behind closed doors against Napoli. Are you surprised, and do you think that might yet change?
Well, that's the thing. I was just going to look at my watch then and say, what time is it? Spanish time. It's coming towards 11 o'clock at night on a Thursday night. I must confess, I find it very hard to imagine that this doesn't get changed in some way. Bear in mind that there are now blocks on flights from Italy into Spain. So, for example, even if we strip it right down to the basics, how do Barcelona's opponents get here? How does that happen? Unless there's some sort of special dispensation put in place, whether there's some sort of controls that enable them to do this. And so I must confess, while I realise it doesn't really answer your question, there's a bit of me that thinks, it might well be that that's not the question. It might well be that that's simply not the case. And this is one of the problems, of course, is that every time you start to deal with some of the elements, things are changing in a matter of minutes, let alone a matter of days. And as I say, it's a Thursday night. That game's not until next week. My guess is that this game doesn't take place.
Yeah, it is a long time to go. Great stuff as always, Sid. If you ever miss an edition of the show, the podcast is where you can hear the audio version. Now, results of the Europa League games that were played, round of 16, first leg. Remember, a couple of postponements in Seville and Milan. Basel winning at Eintracht Frankfurt, big surprise perhaps, 1-1. Wolves going to Greece, getting a draw behind closed doors against Olympiacos. Bayer Leverkusen in front of a full house at Ibrox, getting a 3-1 win. Wolfsburg losing at home. The other result, an eye-catching one, Manchester United going to Austria and Linz, and winning by 5-0, again behind closed doors. Goals from Agallo, James, Juan Mata, Mason Greenwood, Andres Pereira even getting in on the act. And it continues for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side. Stevie, were you impressed?
You have to be. You can only beat what's put in front of you. And even though you win a game, there could be a lot of things you can improve on. But you got to say, in this game, they did a bit of everything. You know, clean sheet means they defended well. They scored goals. They scored good team goals. They scored good individual goals. A lot of good movement. They attacked a lot, which is something that certainly I criticised them for against City at the weekend.
Yeah.
So you have to say this was a great performance from Manchester United.
And getting the ball rolling once again, Xhaka, was Ogalo, who's continuing to
his goal
do the
fantastically
business.
Well. Yeah. And every time you see him play now, the goals seem to be special, albeit against less opposition. Now, the cynic can say similarly about Manchester United and last year is that this is a game they'd expect to win. And you score two in injury time, which maybe makes it seem a little bit more one-sided than, you know, 3-0 quite clearly suggests. But as Stevie says, this was a thorough and complete performance by Manchester United, deserving of the win. On the back of the run that they're on, this is what, now 12 unbeaten in all competitions, it puts this team in a whole different mindset. For them personally, from what we've seen earlier in the season, for all the criticism they've endured, for all the questions we asked about the signing of Ighalo, it's coming right. And again, you can start to pick holes about Ighalo and where and when and against who he scores his goals, but you can't question the technique in scoring those goals, and that I think between now and the end of the season, he very well will play a big role for Manchester United as they continue to look at securing a top four spot.
They're pretty much, I think we can safely say, into the quarterfinal. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen with the Europa League reaching a conclusion. But if they do carry on playing it, are United well equipped to win this? Are they're probably amongst the favourites to win it now.
Oh, no question they're one of the favourites to win it.
Yeah.
I would go as far to say as maybe Wolves and Manchester United, for me, are the two teams that I think are the favourites in this. So
Leverkusen might have something to say about it.
You think so?
Leverkusen
anyway, the thing is, you can see by the team that he put out tonight that he wants to win this because he knows that there's no guarantee. Right now they're sitting, if Manchester City get banned, then they're in.
Right.
But he knows that can go, there's no guarantees. So he knows that he has to try and win this. And whilst they're one of the favourites, you should put out your strongest team and go and win it and make sure.
There's only 3 points between Manchester United and Chelsea, as we sit, and we've spoken about Chelsea's inconsistency. But winning is a habit. Mm. And when you've kind of endured the form that Manchester United had to earlier in the season, when you find yourself in this kind of form, you understand fully why Solskjaer pulls out his strongest team every time he can, and he's going for a win, as big a win as he can get, regardless of who that opposition is. And if you continue to get the kind of performances that you've seen from Ighalo, that Bruno Fernandes continues to churn out week in, week out, keep that going. Don't mess with that formula.
The thing is, well, if they do keep winning, It's going to hurt them in the Premier League, so we have to make sure.
Yeah, well, they won it, didn't they, under Jose Mourinho a few years ago, and that kind of defined that United season. And guess what? They have Jose Mourinho and Spurs to come this weekend. That is probably the highlight game in the Premier League, and we will preview that game as part of tomorrow's show, if it's still happening. Of course.
I'm coming.
Oh, we'll be here.
I'm showing up.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like animal control when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Well, a very understated reaction, as you might expect from the Spanish papers, after Atletico Madrid's heroics at Anfield. Glory it for Atleti and Diego Simeone's men. The reaction of Jurgen Klopp, though, has certainly prompted some interest. This is what he said about Atleti's style. When I see players like Koke, Sal and Llorente, they could play proper football and not stand in their own half and play counter-attacking football. He went on, didn't he, to really complain generally about the way Atletico went about playing. Is it a case of being a sore loser? Does it matter if he's a sore loser? Do you want your manager to be a sore loser, Stevie?
Well, of course you do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's telling the truth.
Mm.
You know, listen, these two teams have spent the same, what, 300 million euros in the last 2 years. Both teams have spent the same money in 2 years.
Mm.
But look how one team plays and look how the other team plays. And you could say, well, the way Liverpool went about it at Anfield, any team would have to sit because they were forced back.
Mm.
But they did the same at home. At home, they did exactly the same. That tells you that that's the way this team plays. So, if you want the truth, you have the truth from Klopp. You get people behind the ball.
Is it anti-football, Xhaka?
Yeah, it is. But it has been for quite some time from Atletico Madrid. This should come as absolutely no surprise to anybody. And listen, I totally understand Steve's point. He's right. When you spend the kind of money that both these clubs do, you expect a certain style of football. The issue for Atletico Madrid is who their manager is. It's one thing to ask to get, or to ask Jurgen Klopp to get his team playing a certain way. It's another to ask Diego Simeone. He simply can't do it. That's not who he was as a player. It's not who he has been as a manager. He's tried to change his Atleti team to make them more appealing on the eye, but we saw how their season started. They couldn't get the balance right. They couldn't score goals as they were doing in pre-season, and keep clean sheets as they'd been doing over the last few years, especially with wholesale changes to what had become their established back four.
Mm.
So, as much as Jurgen Klopp might complain, as much as he might be right, he wasn't, or he shouldn't have been surprised.
Mm. And meanwhile, on British television, Liverpool legend Michael Owen, actually this was a tweet he put out, please spare me all this inevitable Simeone masterclass nonsense. There's nothing genius about putting 11 top-class footballers behind the ball. Liverpool absolutely pumped them throughout. Sid Lowe is with us. Sid, was it a Simeone masterclass? And what's the reaction been like in Spain and in Madrid?
It's so difficult to know where to start because I think there are so many different elements to pick up on here. I feel like I should start with what Xhaka was talking about, and I think he's quite right. This has been the debate at Atletico Madrid this year and indeed last year and perhaps even the year before about identity, about style, about what it is you expect from a team that is now spending the kind of money that maybe means that you can demand a different style of football. My problem, I think, with what Klopp said was the use of the word proper. I wouldn't have minded, I don't think, if he'd said, you know, they're not the kind of football I like, or they're very defensive, or they got very lucky. I wouldn't have minded those things, not least immediately after a defeat. And I'm very indulgent of managers and players post-game, because there's a bit of me that thinks that from the outside, it's easy for us to ask them to be perfect and say the right thing. But they're frustrated, they're angry, they're upset, they've given everything and they've been beaten. And so I think a kind of a bad reaction is sort of normal. But as I say, it's that word proper. And I don't think you can dismiss a way of playing as being, if you like, ethically wrong or not real football. It's a different type of football and you can like it less, but I'm not sure it's fair to dismiss it entirely. Also, the other thing, and to pick up specifically what Michael Owen says, I think Michael Owen has kind of got a point. I'm not sure if it's expressed quite the right way, but I think he's kind of got a point when he says, please spare me this talk of it being a masterclass. There is a small problem with that, though, seen from a Spanish point of view at least, which is that nobody is really calling this a masterclass here. Nobody is saying that Atletico Madrid did this fantastic tactical job on Liverpool in the second leg. And I think it's worth pointing out that the two legs were different. Although there were some stylistic similarities, they were different in terms of the way they were played out. Everybody in Spain, including the Spanish media, that of course is celebrating Atletico Madrid going through, is seeing this as a miracle. Mm. They're seeing this as partly fortunate. They are, all of the Spanish media today have all said, wow, Liverpool were brilliant.
Mm.
You know, this was genuinely a good performance from Liverpool. We're amazed that this has happened. So it hasn't really been framed in those terms that Owen is talking about.
It actually was a masterclass.
Mm.
But it was a masterclass of goalkeeping from Oblak. That's what it was.
And let me tell you, for Stevie to say that, you know exactly how good Jan Oblak was.
That's what it was.
Here's my thing. As far as the criticism around Diego Simeone, Atletico Madrid, and to the point that Michael Owen is making or trying to make, I have no problem with you not liking Simeone or their style of football. I have no problem with you criticizing it. But be consistent. Don't talk about anti-football with Atletico Madrid and Diego Simeone and then turn around and play Jose, and praise Jose Mourinho when he does exactly the same with more money. Don't talk about he's a tactical genius when he parks the bus as well as anybody in football and has and wrote the blueprint and then turn around and criticize Diego Simeone. Be consistent. Whatever you're doing, that's all I ask.
What's your feelings on Adrian, briefly, Shankar? Because he was a cult hero at West Ham.
Yeah.
But you can't have two quality goalkeepers at the same club, can you? You just can't.
Well,
not many teams
Well, they don't, is the way will be the argument. Well, listen, the trouble is, I don't know, you're right. Adrian was absolutely fantastic for West Ham. But this is a step up. And a showing. For those who think that just stick any player in goal, it's the same regardless of where you are, it shows when you step up in class and the expectation and how that pressure tells on ordinarily very good goalkeepers.
You got to wonder. Adrian started the season for Liverpool. And Adrian didn't look out of place at the start of the season. He had a run of games and we're certainly, I know I was. I'm thinking, wow, this guy's been fantastic. I can't believe it. Now we've got two. If something happens to Alisson, now we've got a guy who can step in.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he stepped in and
stepped
twice.
Right in it. That's where he stepped.
Both games made an absolute mess of it and cost Liverpool maybe a Champions League.
I've said this before. It's a totally different mentality to being a number two than being a number one.
Right.
And expectation and what you can deliver yourself and you're seeing that from Adrian. The step up in pressure, and I don't think he's ready to play at that level. I don't think he's ready to be a number two yet.
So to turn it back to Madrid, Atleti, we're having a pretty torrid campaign by their recent standards in the league, in La Liga. So getting through this tie at Anfield, what might it mean for them big picture?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it really is. And look, anyone beating the current champions, anyone beating a team that Simeone has already said will go down in history as one of the great teams, because he believes this is a team with more variety, with more different ways of getting at you than previously really great teams right the way through history. That would be huge anyway. But as you rightly so say, this is an Atletico Madrid team that right now isn't in a Champions League place, that season isn't convincing at all. In a season where Madrid and Barcelona have been poor and maybe there was an opportunity to win the league and they've allowed that to slip away from them, this is huge. And now, of course, people are looking at this and saying, well, if they knocked out Liverpool, there are only four games to go to a final now. This is not impossible.
Indeed. Well, no La Liga games, as we already talked about, for the next 2 weeks. There are Premier League games, though. As we sit here and speak, we'll preview Spurs United and Everton Liverpool, amongst other things, on tomorrow's show. Now, meanwhile, the third and final instalment from the She Believes Cup, USA and Japan. US needing just a draw to lift the cup. Of course, the players wearing their warm-up jerseys inside out prior to the game as a message of protest to the US Soccer Federation. Much more on that a little later. To the game, though, Megan Rapinoe bending in a beauty.
That was a beautiful free kick, wasn't it? Goalkeeper, absolutely no chance. Ball's going away from her the whole time.
This game being played down in Frisco, Texas. And it was Kristen Press getting in on the scoring act again. She's been great in this tournament.
Very impressive all tournament long. Picks his ball up top of the box, just spins, and what a delightful chip.
There was a brief flurry from Japan. Early doors in the second half. Mana Iwabuchi making it 2-1.
Yeah, it's a nice finish. Ball's cut back. Second touch, straight into the side net.
But just to ice it, Lindsay Horan rising from the corner to nod it in. 3-1, the US beating Japan and lifting the She Believes Cup once again. Julie Foudy has stopped by. In fact, Julie dashing back, having called the game in Dallas last night. Great to get you on the show, Jules. Lots to talk about. First of all, what your reaction to the game and maybe the She Believes Cup campaign as a whole?
I think the U.S. team is going to be pleased. I mean, this was really the first test for new coach Flatko Andonovski. And it's always an excellent test because it basically simulates what the Olympics will look like in terms of rhythm, in terms of competitive level. And their first game against England, they looked a class above England. Second game against Spain, although Spain was excellent, they pull out the 3 points with a Julie Ertz game winner. And then probably not their best game against Japan. But again, they're so good on the finishing end. When you saw the Pino goal, when you saw the press goal, as you all commented, she's been excellent in Olympic qualifiers and in She Believes Cup. So I think they're going to be pleased. I mean, they know they've got a lot to build on, but it's a great stride for them heading into that last, you know, 5-4 month phase of the Olympic preparation.
So, Jules, what happened on the field was great. What happened off it, distinctly uglier. Let's get into that. Lawyers from the U.S. Soccer Federation, in reaction to the gender discrimination lawsuit filed by the 28 players back in March, saying this: opposing fan hostility encountered in these men's national team road environments, especially in Mexico and Central America, is unmatched by anything the women must face while trying to qualify for an important tournament. The lawyers went on to say the women claim their ability level is the same as the men by ignoring the materially higher level of speed and strength required to perform the job of a men's national team. These are the U.S. soccer lawyers who, Jules, were basically asked to prove the men's game is different to the women's game, weren't they, in court? What do you make of how they've gone about doing this?
Well, I don't think it's breaking news that, you know, we're biologically made different. But to make that the central theme of your 2600, mind you, Adrian Page document that was the response when they had to file these summary motions. I mean, 2,600 pages of that being a theme where they're deposing the players, asking them, you know, but you lose to 15 and 16 year olds. Could you beat any men's national teams? You know, the men's World Cup brings in so much more revenue and attendance. And, you know, when Kelly O'Hara was asked that, she said, well, you know, I think it's also because they've been marketing the men's World Cup for a long time and they've been investing in that market for a very long time. So it's the absolute wrong approach. And the question I have when I'm reading through all this stuff is there had to have been someone at U.S. Soccer who saw this was the approach their lawyers were taking. And how did that someone, whether, and if that's Carlos Cordero, the president, we've got major issues, right, that he doesn't see a problem in that. Or if it's even Lydia, who's the woman who runs their, who's their general counsel, so she's their in-house general counsel. How do you argue that is going to be our central earth-scorching theme and we're going to run with this? Because obviously what you see here is it doesn't play well with the players, of course, doesn't play well with the sponsors. Public sentiment is terrible in terms of any affection they had for U.S. soccer. It's gone. So I don't know how you miss that in such a big way.
Well, as you say, Julie, the reaction has been furious, hasn't it? And it prompted Carlos Cordero to respond almost immediately, putting out this statement: on behalf of U.S. soccer, I sincerely apologize for the offense and pain caused by the language in this week's court filing, which did not reflect the values of our federation or our tremendous admiration of our women's national team. The horse had already bolted, Jules. What do you make of it? And what might the repercussions be, do you think?
Well, we actually were texted that statement when we were live on television last night. And Sebastian, I had not seen the statement. It came on Sebastian's phone and we read it towards the almost 90th minute. It may have even been the 91st minute of the game. And Sebastian is reading it live on air and we just reacted live to it. And what I said last night and what I'll say again is, I mean, really? It's like, it's too little too late. There's 2,600 pages of that out there. And again, it's not like the players just got deposed this week and you didn't see it. This deposition process and this whole summary process has been, a 4-month process. So who in the room was looking at the approach that their lawyers were taking and knowing it's so sensitive? U.S. soccer so badly wants to sit at the table and settle and not go to trial in May. And so wouldn't you have eyes on that tracking, saying, where are we with this? What is our argument? How are we handling this? How are we looking coming out of this? And none of that was done at the board level, is my understanding, nor with Carlos Cordero.
Jules, just finally, bottom line, there's been a lot of suggestions that perhaps Carlos Cordero should step aside after this huge misstep. Should he stay in this role?
I think it's going to be really hard for him to stay in this role. I don't see how you go forward after this, because you've lost the players. You've lost the public support. You've lost the support around you. If I'm a board member and I sit on that U.S. soccer board and I'm reading this brief, or a member of U.S. soccer that's employed by U.S. soccer, and I'm reading these briefs, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. And whether it was his fault in terms of, maybe he hadn't been shown what their approach was. Well, I would still argue you're the president. You should know these things. How can you not be actively engaged in that? And the real problem as well is there's no CEO position right now. They haven't been able to fill that, but I still think it all falls on his shoulders for all his good intentions, because I do think he has had moments of very good intentions. He hasn't been able to be the leader we need to settle all of this.
Jules, thanks ever so much for hopping on at short notice. I know you just got back from Frisco. We will continue to monitor this story very closely, of course, in the coming weeks. There won't be too many games to look at from a U.S. soccer perspective. Forthcoming friendlies cancelled on the men's and women's side. For the men, their trips to the Netherlands and Wales are off at the end of March. And for the women, they will not be playing early April against Australia or Brazil. Meanwhile, in the CONCACAF Champions League, New York City FC at Red Bull Arena. Just great saying that. Hosting Tigres in the quarterfinal. Tell you what, New York City had a ton of chances this game, but late on, it was the Mexicans on the front foot. Gignac's deflected shot. And then Gignac again, getting on the end of this cross.
Well, with the amount of goals that he's scoring, I would expect him to do a lot better. I'd certainly expect him to get it on target, but to be honest, should have scored.
But he was involved in what proved to be the only goal of the game. This time his effort turned aside by Johnson, and Vargas was there.
Yeah, a long way off from Gignac. No question about the offside or onside. You feel Johnson maybe should have done better with that.
Maybe.
Yeah, not a good night for New York City. Hercules Gomez is with us. Herc, they will have plenty to regret about this, New York City. Loads of chances in the first half and early in the second, and then caught late by Tigres.
Yeah, especially because Tigres is a team, for as potent as they've been in Liga MX over the last decade, for my money, the best team in Liga MX the last decade. They haven't really translated that at the international level, especially in CONCACAF Champions, where they've come runners-up twice already. This is a tournament that kind of haunts them, they're kind of snake-bitten in. So if New York City had a chance, they had to take care of that home locality, that home venue that they have. I know they're playing at Red Bull Arena. But this is a game where New York City is going to be really kicking themselves, because they shot themselves in the foot. They dominated Tigres from front to end, possession, chances. They just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net, which has been the story for New York City FC in this very minimal Major League Soccer season. Tigres is a sleeping giant. Now, the sleeping giant hasn't awoken yet. It's only 1-0. But this team, the amount of firepower they have, easily André Pierre Gignac, the best player in CONCACAF, and you have players like Quiñones, you have players like Edu Vargas, you have that rich roster that they have. I don't see how they go into a Estadio Volcan down in Mexico and get a result. It's unfortunate, because City was, for my money, one of the better teams, Major League Soccer teams, remaining in this competition, but they haven't played up to par as of yet.
Just a word, Stevie, on seeing New York City play at Red Bull Arena.
I can't get my head around it.
It just great, doesn't it? I know there are reasons, and you know, economic reasons, any sort of reason you want, but Liverpool playing at Goodison Park, can you ever imagine? I mean, I know it's not the same, but still.
The question is the history between the two sides big enough yet to make it such a big problem? I would suggest that maybe in 20 years' time, people might be
people
might be thinking a little bit differently about it.
Well, meanwhile, the other MLS team in action, Atlanta United, they travelled for their first leg to take on Club America. And this, guys, was all one-way traffic from pretty early on. 11th minute, Leo Suarez giving the Mexicans the lead.
Oh, what a strike. I mean, it's not just power. He puts this exactly where he wants. hits down the left-hand side of it, bends it a little bit into the top corner. That's a great goal.
Of course, Atlanta United without Joseph Martinez, a couple of other starters too, and they were two down just a couple of minutes later.
This is an incredible goal. Look at this ball from Sanchez to pick out the run of Martin. Just bites his time, and then against Green, threads the eye of a needle, and then a good finish by Martin at the end of it.
It was a ragged first half for the Five Stripes. Bruno Valdez heading in number three for Club America. So Atlanta United have a steep hill to climb, to say the very least, Herc. And this was a competition they were really prioritizing as well this year.
No, Adrian, this was over before it even started. No Joseph Martinez, no party. It's that simple. You could say what you want. Joseph Martinez isn't going to defend, but his presence alone, the pressure he puts up front, makes this team play a different way. I know it's not Tata Martino's Atlanta United. I know it's Frank de Boer's. But the tactics were all wrong. With the limited roster that they had, with Barco and Piti Martinez playing up top, they ate three goals in the first half, and it did him in. It's the same old story for Major League Soccer when they go play down south. They just are overwhelmed by the moment, and they get sucked into this hole, and it's a hole they can't dig themselves out of. Even then, they hit the crossbar a few times, had their chances. It could have easily been 3-2, but I don't see how they're going to go back home and look to find four goals without Joseph Martinez. No Joseph Martinez in this equation, and I had written off Atlanta United before it even started.
It seems like we're singing this tune every year, MLS and their woes in the CONCACAF Champions League. This is the full bracket. Three games, three defeats so far for the MLS teams through the first legs. LAFC's game against Cruz Azul, due to be played Thursday night in LA, has been suspended.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Napa Know-How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Now, you may have seen this on social media, Kylian Mbappe posting it on Instagram. This is the PSG locker room after they'd beaten Dortmund in the Champions League. A little, what should we call it, a homage to Erling Haaland's method of celebration.
Listen, will you come up with a celebration, and then you're open to...
That's stupid from PSG.
Shaka, your power rankings, the first coronavirus edition of the power rankings.
Yes, and the way things are going, this might be the very last power rankings of this season. So Bayern will be happy, Lazio don't even have to play, and they stay second. And then Champions League kind of dictates the rest.
You always...
Notably, Atletico Madrid in at 7th, Liverpool at 8th. Leipzig, all right, doing all right, they're happy. And Leverkusen, they're in. They're doing very well, Leverkusen. I mean, I know it's just Rangers in Europa League, but they're playing well.
I don't know what to make of this.
It's fantastic, Steve. That's what to make of it.
I don't like the look of Atleti ahead of Liverpool.
Yeah.
Well, if only we had some... way to choose between the two, Stephen.
Liverpool plummeting faster than the stock market in your...
Unbelievable.
In your power rankings.
They were number one three weeks ago.
Yeah. Breaking news, actually, just as we finished today, Mikel Arteta, the Arsenal manager, has tested positive for coronavirus. But as far as we know, the Premier League games are still happening this weekend. That could all change by the time we do our next show. We hope you will join us for that. Thanks to Stevie and to Shaka and also to Sim. See you next time.
And away we go. Another edition of Extra Time. Thanks for your questions, your tweets. A lot of them.
I think he always weaves his papers there. Another edition of Extra Time right here.
I just like to show the list of people think of making it up.
Yeah.
A lot of them were for you yesterday.
Extra Time, though.
And the first one's for you today as well. Christina just wants to check in.
Hi.
Says, is Stevie doing a little better today, perhaps?
Yes.
Yeah? 24 listen, hours cures all ills.
Yeah, listen, whether you're playing or coaching or a fan, it's always a roller coaster.
Yeah.
And you can't hold on to it for too long.
Right.
You gotta let it go.
Yeah. But yesterday I was watching again. I was really concerned, Stevie.
What, during the game?
Yeah.
I wish I could have
I'm seeing Stevie watching games. I'm concerned not just for Stevie, but for everybody in ESPN.
Right.
Because,
yeah. There's a special shade of purple he turns when things aren't going Liverpool's way.
In keeping with recent themes, he has to self-isolate when Liverpool are playing.
Sid Lowe is with us. Sid, Rafael Santiago wants to know how far Atleti going in the Champions League after knocking out the reigning champions.
Well, I don't know if there will be a Champions League now. Which is obviously a potential problem. I mean, genuinely, having knocked out Liverpool, I think Liverpool are the kind of... I know this sounds ridiculous, because Liverpool are the best side in Europe, almost certainly, at the moment. They have a variety to their play. But I think Liverpool's style does perhaps offer Atletico a way of resisting that would be more difficult for them against other types of teams. But look, this is a team that reached two finals, right? It's not quite as good as that team that reached two finals, but I think this is a slightly weaker Champions League than the one in which they reached two finals. And in those two occasions, remember, they knocked out Barcelona in one of them, they knocked out Bayern Munich in one of them. I think Atletico are good enough to reach the final again.
Yeah.
Where, of course, they will be desperate not to face Real Madrid.
Yes.
Or Ronaldo, more to the point.
Yeah.
Do you agree, Stevie? I mean, as Sid says, it's in their DNA. They've done it plenty of times before.
Well, you can't say no.
Right.
If you just beat the best team, then clearly you've got a chance of winning a tournament. Mm. I would love to know what the bookies have got them at, because regardless of beating Liverpool, I don't think they'll be any further up the table when the bookies order.
Now, here's my totally non-scientific prediction.
Hold on, are we talking about Shaka's power ranking?
No.
I thought that
European
was totally...
football is going to be scrapped.
Right.
There's going to be no more European football. And then domestic leagues, certainly the Premier League at the very least, are going to cram everything into a few weeks. Two, maybe three games a week behind closed doors to get to the end of a season.
Yeah.
And that's my prediction.
Euro 2020? Does that still happen?
No, that's out.
That's gone?
Yeah, that's out.
So when are they going to play these games in the domestic?
Two or three times a week.
You're
going to take a week or two break. You're going to take a week or two break, cram everything, including the FA Cup in.
Yeah, but if the Euros don't start till what, June?
June 12th, the Euros. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're going to play games before then, why would you not just go ahead and have the Euros?
No, because the Euros is all over Europe. And they don't people, there's still the travel restrictions.
All the domestic season could be by then if they play two or three games a week. So why would you not play the Euros?
Because you don't want people travelling around Europe. You want people staying in their countries.
We'll play the Euros behind closed doors as well.
You have teams flying all over Europe. Move on, Adrian, please.
Yeah, all right. Flexmaster. Let's move to him. Who was the better January signing, Bruno Fernandes or Erling Haaland?
Ooh.
Maybe the answer has changed a little over the last couple of weeks. It would have been.
It has. I'm going to go Bruno Fernandes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because Dortmund were a good team.
Yeah.
They're better with Haaland. Mm. I'm not sure. So sure you could say the same about Manchester United pre-Bruno Fernandes.
Mm. Stevie?
Oh, sad. No contest. Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah. Sitch? Is it clear-cut in your mind, Bruno Fernandes?
Well, I say this as someone who's not watching English or German football with as closely as you two are in the studio. But I think the impact on Man United, and I think that's a very compelling argument, that one that says, you know, Borussia Dortmund weren't a bad team before. Manchester United were. And so I suppose in that sense, you'd say the impact is greater. Although it must be said that while Borussia Dortmund weren't a bad team, things weren't right. And I suspect that long term, both of these players are going to be very good indeed.
Mm. Mm.
That was sitting on the fence, wasn't it?
I thought that was very good. I thought that was very good, Sydney.
If you got to sit on the fence, that was expertly done. That was a textbook demonstration of sitting on the fence. Dave, meanwhile, for Stevie again, why has Roberto Firmino evaded criticism this season for his lack of goals, specifically at Anfield? Asked Dave.
Because of winning.
Yeah. That would do it, wouldn't it?
Winning is the deodorant of the game. Because it covers all bad smells. Always remember that.
The deodorant of the game.
Winning is the deodorant of the game. Covers all bad smells. Winning covers a lot of bad things. Mm. Tell you what, you could say Salah. Salah's form this season. Is there a guy that frustrates you more in the Premier League or anywhere else with the things he does in a game, and then all of a sudden he'll produce something? So you could say the same about him as well. Mm. But again, he plays every game, and why? Because they win. Mm.
What he said.
Yeah. Mm. What about the deodorant?
Yeah.
John, finally, for Sid, he's concerned what you're going to be doing now that La Liga is suspended for the next 2 weeks. John wants your itinerary.
Yeah, I'm concerned about this as well. I worked it out the other day, just before the Valencia game was put behind closed doors, that I think I've been to 125 games this season. Right. Which tells you obviously what a big part of my life going to football matches takes up. I have no idea what I'm going to do now. I might have to interact with people, but of course the whole point of this coronavirus lockdown is you're not supposed to interact with people. I might have to talk to my family. It's awful.
Sid.
I'd like to point out here, I say it's awful. It's awful for them, not for me.
Right.
Sid, your maths is going to be fantastic by the end of this.
Yeah. No, honestly.
Because you're going to be doing homework every day.
Schools are closed, kids are at home, I've become a teacher, and I've realised that I'm not very good at some of these things that I'm supposed to be helping with. I'm climbing the walls already, and I'm not taking a huge amount of responsibility for this teaching work, but even just an hour of it,
This newfangled math, Sid, I tell you. You claimed you weren't a doctor earlier, but actually you are. You're a doctor of history, aren't you, Sid?
Yeah, so I can't really help you with any viruses. if your ailment involves wanting to know why the Spanish Civil War started, I can help out. But if it's anything remotely practical, I'm not a lot of use to you.
It says a historian, right? How did they sort out the Spanish flu way back in the day?
1918, right? No. Yep, see?
Yeah, I think Steve, part of the problem is that they didn't. And actually, here is a lesson from history. Perhaps we haven't learned some of the things that we could have learned from that.
Well, that's a first.
Every 100 years.
We've never learned from history. Mm.
That's my contribution to today's history lesson.
The Spanish railways are going to be in some trouble without Sid's patronage.
No, they won't.
Who's going to be in some trouble?
He's kept them in business over the last.
Mrs. Lowe is going to be in all kinds of trouble. It's like, oh, what am I going to do now with him or him only hanging around?
Pray for Mrs. Lowe, honestly.
We will be back tomorrow. We think, have a Premier League weekend to preview, unless something happens overnight. I hope you can join us on the next show.